Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I had a couple of realizations about our story come up this morning, and I hope it will be worth your while for me to bring those in. And with them comes a koan that I would like to then let us sit with this morning. And it's one some of you will have seen the article I sent out to in another context from John Tarrant, bringing this koan in. And I'm sending you a link to the article when I get home this afternoon. The koan is, when times of great difficulty visit us, how should we meet them? And the teacher answers, welcome. When times of great difficulty visit us, how should we meet them? Welcome. And so I want to weave this together with our story, where I think it really enters in, and with our Heart Sutra, and obviously with our times. So this is going to begin in a sideways direction, which is to continue a little bit the teaching from Joan on dreams. Because it seems so clear that the stance of dreams is welcome. Some of our filters are gone, right? So everything can come in. And you can feel that in this morning's dreams. So one thing that can happen, Joan points out, as we do dream practice, this yoga of dreams in a way, is that there can be more seamlessness between sleep and waking. So the listening that we do more naturally in dream time can also become part more of our day time. And she has this beautiful statement, making meaning is a kind of speech. What we're talking about is a kind of listening instead. So when we get a little more of this seamlessness between sleep and waking, more listening, less trying to make meaning. Making meaning is a kind of speech. What we're talking about is a kind of listening instead. And what happens in this is that it reveals the emptiness of a sense of someone doing this.
Can you repeat that, please?
It reveals the emptiness of a sense of someone doing this. So in our dreams, we can lose the sense of someone doing this and have a more inclusive happening going on, just happening. And then the welcome response to that is listen, right? Okay. So bringing that, can you see how that carries into our story? And I'll talk about that in a minute. So there's a last kind of dream that she brought in, a clear light dream during deep sleep, but you're aware, you can witness the dream, right? You may have had that experience where you're actually watching the dream rather than participating. And you then are identified with the clear light of sleep. You are identified with the clear light of sleep. There's no more you are acting, right? Who is this? Who is doing this? There's just that clear light of sleep. So then something about a comment about why do we forget? Why do we forget our dreams? So in this clear light of sleep, something happens, another thing happens, another thing happens. Each thing, each moment obliterates the previous moment, which is how practice cuts through the knots of karma. I'll say that one more time. Each in this Tathagata field, yeah? Each moment obliterates the previous moment, which is how practice cuts through the knots of karma. So I want to bring this to our story, because I think our story is a story of cutting through the knots of karma for all people and gods. So last thing from Joan, and I'm just reading it from that talk. So she says, so this is Nirmanakaya, right, the world of thingness, form, and Dharmakaya, the world of emptiness, the body of emptiness. So the Nirmanakaya, the world of form, the material world, is made up of residue. Made up of residue. I mean, the next moment happens because of residue. Causes and conditions lead to the next moment. And that's going on all the time. And then, simultaneously, you've got Dharmakaya, which is this other aspect of things where there is no residue at all, where each moment is complete and utter and fills the universe itself. Both things are true, and both things are happening simultaneously. And that's the binocular vision. So when we're standing in the Sambodhakaya, in the dream body, or in the story body, and being able to see that Tathagata quality of things, that's the eye of realization. And then the eye of enjoyment is seeing the continuities of the material world, of the world of form. I love you this moment because I loved you last moment. That's what we enjoy. That's what we delight in. Both equally true and simultaneously true. And so much of our practice is really trying to be able to hold both of those visions simultaneously. And then actually being able to bring them together so that it's not binocular vision, it's one field of vision. And we practice on to bring stability to that vision, that kind of vision. So in our Heart Sutra, as we fall into the no ear, no eye, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, there's this vast welcome. And also, who's doing this? No eye, no ear, no nose, no you. Yeah, who's doing this? And then it just goes to yes, yes, with no hindrance in the mind. So to our story one more time. The whole place is out of alignment with the Tao. The gods are fighting amongst themselves. The people are fighting amongst themselves. The people are worshiping this poor girl who didn't ask for anything. And then bringing down the wrath of Aphrodite, who says, "What's this?" You know? And everything's off kilter. Yeah? There's all kinds of karma going on. This happens, and then that makes this happen, and then that makes this happen. Psyche goes willingly to be the sacrifice. That is a karma-changing moment. She gives up everything. She goes onto the top of the cliff, ready. And we then, for throughout the story, are tossed back and forth between emptiness and love, between making meaning and listening, between karma and Tathagata. And so we end up, who is doing this? It's been in all of our discussions, yeah? She's given the task. She gets the advice. The task happens. Who's doing this? It starts to dissolve. Bit by bit, yeah? She crawls forward. And more walks forward. But with that sense of who's doing this? So that when you find her going down into the underworld, equipped by all beings, who's walking down into the underworld? We are all walking with her. All beings are walking down there and sitting on that floor. And not able to stay because she, the human, must walk back into the light of day. This cuts through the knots of karma. And when she opens that box for love, her forgetfulness wipes everything away. Can you see it? She falls into a deep sleep. Everything is wiped away. And that total sacrifice of Dharmakaya brings the gods all together. They resolve their differences. They all decide there should be a wedding. This will help. Love will help. And there's a great celebration everywhere. So that's the short story. We could spin it out, but I think it's better to leave the space. Okay? So I guess one other thing I wanted to bring in there is about how she keeps wanting to kill herself. To me, that is no eye, no ear, no nose. You know, there's no eye that can do this over and over. And then everything comes forward and it gets done.
I don't see the connection between no eye and her wanting to kill herself. Sorry.
No, I'm glad you asked that. So the connection is in those moments when she resigns herself to the impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that it has this quality of, in this karmic dilemma, this karmic dilemma will not be solved by this
mm-hmm,
body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is not in the realm of this body,
mm-hmm.
somehow. And yet, she's got to do it. Right? So where we are, where the karmic knots of the world are so visible right now to us, and we feel called upon, what's our sacrifice? What is our way of walking forward here? And I think that trusting this amazing practice of continually walking back and forth across that falling into listening, the vastness, and then turning back into the next step of love. What is the next step of love?
So is love something that's there, or is it something we do?
Yes.
So
yes.